Here we have it, because the gospel is the message of separation. Salvation is essentially separation, as is proved and demonstrated in many, many ways in Scripture. God's great purpose of grace toward men is that of separating a people for himself from the rest of fallen humanity. Christians here tonight, never forget that. There was a time when the Lord set his eye on you. It tells us here that he saw him. He saw Matthew sitting there in his unconverted, unregenerate state. He set his eye on him. And there was a day when the Lord set his eye on you, child of God.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 1879 58th Avenue, Surrey. We give a warm invitation to you and your family to attend the Western Bible Conference in our congregation in Cloverdale from Friday the 31st of July through to Sunday the 2nd of August. The meetings will be advertised on our webpage, cloverdalefpc.ca. Do visit our page for the times of those services, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and our Facebook page as well will have the details of these meetings. During the month of July, we are sharing old messages from our conference with you here on our program. Today's preacher is the Reverend John Greer from Northern Ireland, and his subject is the power of the gospel to save. The power of the gospel to save. May the Lord bless the preaching of his word to your soul.
So Luke chapter 5, verse number 18, let us hear the word of God. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy or a paralysis, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering, said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And the Lord will bless the reading of this, his own infallible word. My text tonight is verse number 28. The words are, "And he left all, rose up, and followed him." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. The man in this story who left all, who rose up, and who followed the Lord Jesus Christ is named Levi, but he is otherwise known as Matthew. His conversion to Christ is recorded by three of the gospel writers, and he himself, that is Matthew or Levi, is one of those writers. It is clear from the scripture that Matthew certainly had no previous interest in Jesus Christ or in his soul's salvation. Note the context in which our text lies. In verse 27, we read these words, "After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi." In the context, there's a certain event in view in connection with which the calling and the salvation of Levi took place. The reference in those words, "after these things," is to the healing of the palsied man that took place in the city of Capernaum, where the Lord now is and still, and of course Matthew is found. Certain events took place in connection with which the calling of Levi did occur. And that miracle of the healing of the palsied man had taken place in a certain house. The preaching of the Lord was taking place there. The presence of the Lord filled that home. And the power of the Lord was present to heal the man. And of course, the healing of the man did occur, as we have just read in that part of this passage. However, the amazing fact is that though Matthew was in Capernaum, very close to the spot where the miracle had occurred, yet he seems to have had no interest whatsoever in what was going on. Instead, as Christ went forth from that home where the man who had been palsied or paralyzed was healed, Matthew was sitting, as it says, at the receipt of custom, and he was deeply engrossed in earthly affairs. While others pressed around the home where the healing had occurred, Matthew had not even troubled himself to leave the receipt of custom and go to that home to find out what was taking place. As the great concourse of people assembled there, so many people were gathered around that house and in that house that there was no room for the men who brought the palsied man to make their way into the home. They had to climb up onto the roof, as we've read, remove the tilings, and get down in that way to bring the man before the Lord. And all of this, of course, was very dramatic, very eye-catching, but Matthew has no interest in it at all. No interest in meeting Christ, no interest in hearing Christ, no interest in what is going on in the life of a man who himself was saved on this occasion, as well as being healed, because the Lord forgave the sins of the paralytic man as well as raising him up again. And so he sits there, Matthew, he's unmoved, he's untouched. He's going fast on the road to ruin and to destruction, but was not even aware of it. He was ready to perish, but he was unconscious of that issue and the destiny that awaited him. Therefore, when he came to write his gospel, the gospel of Matthew, or the gospel according to Matthew, some years later on, he undoubtedly would have done so with deep emotion. You can imagine how he felt as he took his pen, moved by the Holy Spirit, to record the event of his own conversion. He'd have realized how undeserving he had been. He would have recognized that if the Lord had passed him by when he came out of that house where he had healed the paralytic and had forgiven his sins, it would have been nothing more than he, Matthew, actually deserved. And therefore, when he'd have written the record in his own gospel of what had taken place, he would have done so with not only astonishment, with a feeling of utter unworthiness, but also with a sense of deep gratitude, because he would have realized that the Lord stopped that day and did something for him that nobody else could do, and wrought something in his heart that no one else could bring about. And it's all encapsulated in terms of what took place in the words of our text. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. In those words, in a very succinct manner, we have expressed the awakening and the conversion and the mighty change that took place in Matthew's heart and in Matthew's life. Furthermore, in those words, there's a presentation of what the Lord is able to do for other sinners. I do not know you all by any means, and there are people watching on and joining with us online this evening, and it may well be, and maybe certainly is true, that there are folk under the sound of the word tonight who are not saved. And it may well be that in your life, you never really thought much about that. Or like Matthew, you maybe ignored that matter altogether. It's my prayer that as you are under the word of the Lord tonight and under the sound of this particular message that shows you that Christ alone is able to meet the need of the human heart and change people's lives, that you will experience what Matthew experienced. That this night, in a spiritual sense, you will leave all, rise up, and follow Christ. Let's look at that text. There are features of the gospel in that statement, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. Features of the gospel and its power to save the soul. What are they? Well, number one, the gospel is the message of separation. The verse begins this way, and he left all. That was in response to the Lord's command at the end of verse 27, where the Lord said, follow me. And then we read, and he left all. And therefore, the first effect of the Lord's call to Matthew was a severing of the bond that existed between Matthew and his old life, his life of sin, his life of pursuing the things of this world, his life of going on heedless and careless, not giving any attention to the matters that are eternal, matters that are spiritual, matters that are essential and life-changing. Here we have it. Because the gospel is the message of separation. Salvation is essentially separation, as is proved and demonstrated in many, many ways in Scripture. God's great purpose of grace toward men is that of separating a people for himself from the rest of fallen humanity. Christians here tonight, never forget that. There was a time when the Lord set his eye on you. That's what he did with Matthew. It tells us here that he saw him. He saw Matthew sitting there in his unconverted, unregenerate state. He set his eye on him. And there was a day when the Lord set his eye on you, child of God. And he set his love on you as well. And he reached down and he rescued you. And he drew you out from the society in which you were living. He took you out of fallen humanity. He changed your life. He separated you from your sin. That's what the Lord is doing every day as he saves precious souls. The gospel is the message of separation. If you take, for example, the word church, it's found throughout the New Testament everywhere. The word church literally means the called out ones. It's not a reference to a building like this. This building is not the church. This building is the meeting house where the church here meets. The word church refers to people, men and women whom the Lord has called out of fallen society and saved by his grace. If we think of various New Testament churches, and they are mentioned, they are named as we read through the Word of God in the New Testament scriptures. And we find there that we read of the church of God at Corinth, or the churches of Galatia, or the church of the Thessalonians. And we are reading in all those little details of people, of men and women long, long ago whom the Lord called and separated by his grace from their sin and from their darkness and from their fallen condition and from the rest of society, and he made something out of them, made them his people. He set his love upon them afresh. He changed their lives. He set them on the right road in life. And like Matthew, every one of them left all. Matthew was separated unto Jesus Christ by the gospel of his grace, separated from his former and his previous state forever, and delivered from his sin. Now notice those words, and he left all. That was a conscious separation. Do you notice where those words are found? At the very beginning of this complete statement about his conversion. It doesn't read this way, and he rose up and left all. It reads this way, he left all and then he rose up, and I'll come to those words momentarily. That is, he rose up. But first of all, he left all. And that's what I mean by a conscious separation. In his heart, there was a separation that took place immediately. There was a conscious decision to leave his sinful ways and turn from his sinful lifestyle. Before he ever got up of his office, where he was sitting at that table, before he ever got onto his feet, he had already left all. Consciously and deliberately and personally, Matthew made the decision, I am leaving what I have been, I am leaving what I have been doing, and I am going to follow Jesus Christ. And my dear friend, that is a very, very important little detail, a conscious separation. You see, that's what the Bible shows us very clearly about the matter of the Lord saving people. Where does the Lord begin? The Lord begins in the inner man. When that man, Matthew, had consciously left all behind him, it is the evidence that his will had been renewed. That's where the Lord starts. He starts with the will, the inward man, the will. The will must be renewed. The will is inclined toward evil, toward the things that satisfy the flesh, toward those matters that have to do with sin and the world and all that's unclean and so forth. And therefore the will must be renewed. Before Matthew left all, Jesus Christ did something within him. He changed his will. The Bible speaks of that. Speaks of the will being changed by the power of the gospel. Let me tell you tonight, that's precisely what sinners need. Because the will of man is biased against God, against Christ, against the gospel. The will of man is not in a state of balance. That's what some will tell you. That man's will is in this state of equilibrium, and man, therefore, he's the final arbiter of all these things, and he can make the choice that makes all the difference, but that is not true. Man only chooses Jesus Christ as the result of his will being changed and the bias of that will being swung away from self and sin and wickedness toward God. That is why Matthew left all. And in that you have the essence of repentance. Repentance, the word repentance in the New Testament signifies a change of mind. That's the significance of it. And it's always a change for the better. An inward conscious awareness that sin must be forsaken and God must be obeyed and God's will done by that person. You see, Matthew was never in any shape or fashion up to this moment doing the will of God. He was doing his own will. He was living for himself. He was pursuing his own agenda. He was going after those things that he loved. He never did the will of God until that moment. But when he left all, that's the indication that now the will of God has become the chief objective of this man's soul. He's telling himself, I need to leave all and do what God would have me do. It's a very searching thing, men and women. How is it with you? Whose will do you really want to do? Is it your own will, or is it the will of God as is revealed in this book? Is there repentance in your heart? Do you realize that you've sinned against God right through your lifetime until this very moment? And that you have been ignoring the will of God, indeed contradicting the will of God? That's what sin is. Sin is the transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 verse 4, it gives us the definition of sin. Sin is lawlessness, literally it means. And therefore, in any sinful heart and life and individual, there is a rejection of the mind of God, the law of God, the will of God, and there's a pursuit of what pleases the flesh and gratifies evil desires and evil lusts. As unsaved people live for themselves and seek to do that which pleases them. How is it with you? I ask you to search your own heart tonight, because here was a conscious separation. He left all. For you.
As the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, I do invite you and your family to our Western Bible Conference. This conference is in its third year and has moved around the various churches that we have in Williams Lake and in Calgary. And this year it is coming to our congregation in Cloverdale. The conference takes place from Friday the 31st of July. There will be an evening meeting, and then it continues on Saturday the 1st of August. There will be a gathering in the morning, and then there will be a meeting again in the evening. On the Lord's Day, the 2nd of August, we will be meeting at 10:30 a.m. in the morning and 6 p.m. in the evening, or normal times of worship. The preacher will be Pastor Logan Elder, who is the minister of Orlando Free Presbyterian Church in Florida in the United States. And he will be coming to bring God's word to our conference. We do warmly invite you and your family to come and join us. The various details and the times of the services are available on our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. That email address will be repeated at the end of today's program in a few moments. You can also email me, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. You can also contact me on telephone 604-576-1091. And I'll be more than happy to pass on the various details of our conference to you. It is also important for Christians to have access to good and sound Christian literature. And this was one of the desires that we had for our conference when it commenced in 2024. And as a result of that, we will be having a book table at our conference on the Friday evening and on the Saturday. There will be a wide range of Reformed and evangelical materials available, books for children, devotionals, theological books, and a selection of Bibles. We also love the Puritans and the Puritan literature, and there will be a wide selection of Puritan books for you to consider. The Puritans loved the Word of God. They loved to expound the Scriptures and to emphasize the importance of righteous living, of living your life as an example that points to the Lord Jesus Christ and His so great salvation. They desire to know more of God day by day, and that is the aim for our conference, so that our congregation, those who attend, will grow in their spiritual walk. And so we invite you and your family to join us, and do visit our website for those additional details. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.